Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriend with Christine Marie and Julie.
And hi, everyone. I'm Christine Marie. And tonight I'm just going to be playing a little bit second fiddle because I have a major cold.
Yes. Major A blank blank
yes,
cold.
Exactly. And I'm saving my voice mostly as a favor to you listeners.
Yeah. And it's funny because I have one as well, except that mine's a little bit further along. So
yeah.
I can go a little bit longer than in between coughing attacks. And I've got my hot tea and I've got a cough drop in my mouth. So if you hear us slurring, if you hear me slurring my words more than usual, you know that's the reason why. But it's going to be a fun show tonight because we got two awesome guests on. And usually we have, not all the time, but I would think 80% of the time we have women coming on,
yes.
Life of the Girlfriend.
Yes.
And tonight we have two men. And I just think this is awesome because,
mm-hmm.
I, you know, it's nice to have a testosterone-y show.
Yes.
And tonight we're going to be interviewing Bill King in our first half hour. And he's all about thinking. And I, as a coach, I say that all the time to a client. It's like, you know what, you're kind of in the mood of thinking. And we get
and,
in that
and,
habit.
And when you feel that way, you go, I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care. I'm going to eat dirt.
Yes, I have to make sure I have good rapport with my clients because otherwise they're like, you know what, Julie, I think I'm going to still be in thinking because that's kind of where I want to live right now. And he talks about it through law of attraction, and it's going to be a fun half hour. And I love where he's coming, and I love – he also talks about kids and how, you know,
so
how
good.
Can we
yeah.
get our kids to think differently.
I mean, is that not the best place to start, you know? Julie and I are both certified in self-esteem elevation as well, but for not just for adults, but for children, and you have to, if you care about the planet, you care about the world. I mean, you have to, you know, realize that. Can I sing? I believe the children are our future.
Yes, you can.
Treat them well, and
well, I think in this day and age, we see through media what kids we think in their heads, and I think we're surprised when we hear them think so, like, low of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't do that. I know I can't do that. I'll never be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or I just suck. Because we know that I thought that way several
mm-hmm.
times growing up, and luckily I had really positive people around me saying, you may think this way now, but you know what? Just try again. You
mm-hmm.
can get through this. Mm-hmm. And so...
Well, also, too, you know, not to steal your thunder or anything, mm-hmm. but, I mean, there is just the opposite. But it's still thinking, where you just think so highly of yourself
yes.
that you just don't understand why you're not the next, you know, American Idol or
right.
whatever, you know. There's sort of the extremes right now that I notice. But anyway, before we get on to the first, because I do want to put in a little plug for our book, Julie.
Oh, please do. It's The Clutterfly Effect. I mean, take your thunder away from your girlfriend.
No, I want you to, girlfriend. You go.
Since your voice is
yes,
suffering, I'm
yes.
maybe jumping in more than I need to.
I want
tweak
to.
Your way to total transformation by decluttering your life
mm-hmm.
and how one small tweak can equal big changes. That's just awesome. And we had a great interview on Friday
mm-hmm.
with Women of Wisdom show.
Mm-hmm.
And what a fun show. And
it
usually
was.
We do the interviewing, but that day we were interviewed. And it was awesome being interviewed.
Yes, it really was. And it was fun to plug our book. The day it first came out, May 21st, it went to number one bestseller on Amazon. And it stayed there for several days. It's still in the top, you know, 50, 20, 30, 40, 50. And, you know, it's just been, I don't know, a blessing to be able to just talk about this. And we had an hour interview, which was, like you said, awesome, to talk about the Clutterfly Effect and the platform and everything. So you can still get it on Amazon.com.
Yes, and then you can join our free membership site. Go to
yes.
ClutterflyEffect.com, and you can get there. And you, by signing up, you get an invitation to come to our monthly Amp It Up, where we connect with that field of pure potentiality and also a Clearing the Clutter Saturday or Sunday.
Yes.
So it's a fun time. We ask everyone to join, and it's a blast. So and then our second half hour a day, we're going to be talking with Shel Horowitz, and he's all about green marketing and living green with your business. And I love this because this idea that on TV, I guess it's like, I see the show all the time right now on TNT talking about the drive to the green. And I'm like, what's that all about? That's either about race car driving or golf. I can't figure it out. But green is just right now and will continue to be very important to sustaining our lives. And so I can't wait to talk more about how we can tweak our way to being more green in our business and our lives and helping the world. And that's, I think, the theme for both these gentlemen. They're all about helping the world, you know, through our acts of kindness and kindness to the plant, kindness to other people. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to bring Bill King on.
I will bring him. I know. Bill, are you there?
I am here.
Great.
Great.
Bill King, I'm going to just tweak your horn a little bit here. You're a writer, a speaker, consultant. You know, his latest website, idontstink.com. I love that. You know, it teaches the law of attraction from a completely different point of view. It's built on the premise that negative thoughts stink, and they do. His approach is geared toward law of attraction newbies, and he uses humor to break down the barriers many people have to taking full responsibility for the circumstances of their lives. There's also a quiz that you can check into as well, and that's awesome. But I want to say this idea of responsibility. It can be fun to take responsibility for your lives, and it can also be just like this major, how is it possible for me to take total responsibility for this mess I'm in? I don't want it. So, Bill, I just want to start off and just start saying, I love the website. It's so fun. And what got you going into this direction?
First of all, I want to say just thank you very much for having me on. I'm honored to be chosen to be one of your guests, so thank you so much for having me on.
You're very welcome.
So it actually started several years ago, and I was actually at a training convention, and they gave us like 7 minutes to do like a 10-minute speech. So, you know, it was very high pressure. And one of the things we had to do is create a state change. A state change where you talk for maybe 7 minutes or so, and then you need to give a state change to keep people engaged. So I was trying to think of state change, and I was like, you know, hey, turn to your neighbor and say, I don't stink. And that's actually where it came from. And after I wrote it down, I'm like, that's catchy. And then I built it out from there, primarily for kids.
Darling. Yeah, idontstink.com.
Well, and it is for kids, but I want to say, like you said, about law of attraction newbies, because, you know, I still read Dr. Seuss books, and once in a while, and the reason why, because the message doesn't change, and it's even if it might be for kids, adults can really learn from it as well. I mean, I love that book, that Dr. Seuss book, you know, The Places You Will Go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great classic, so even if it's for kids, it's still, I think everyone can take some great insight from it. So let's go and talk about kids and what kind of volunteering. I know you talk about kids in all different respects and feeling good and getting out of stinking thinking, but you also talk about volunteering. And what is like appropriate volunteering for kids?
You know, I think that what's really important and really what's driving the entire website, their website originally was the kindness meter that allows people to track kindness. And so volunteering is a form of kindness. And the idea is that, you know, you got younger kids, there's some things that they can't volunteer for and some things that make the most sense. And I think that there are a number of things out there, especially as we get into the summer here, is that, first of all, you can, you know, volunteer at a local community service center. You could also volunteer, like at a library. You could read to kids that were younger to you. That's always a great place to start. And another place that I have found very, very positive for kids is to volunteer at like the animal clinics. You know, that that need the rescue clinics that need people to help. Something about helping somebody else, you know, and they get immediate gratification of it, which really makes a huge difference in their lives, and it gets them to start thinking more positively.
Oh, what a good point you've made, because you talked about earlier that state change, and there's nothing like helping someone else, helping animals, that really changes your state for the positive. So, yeah, we just need to support our kids in doing that. You know, why do you think children kids of all ages have a way of falling into negative thinking so easily?
Well, I think what's crazy about it is that, you know, kids today are really bombarded with negativity literally every hour of every day. And
absolutely.
So what happens is they are like sponges, especially at the younger ages. And the idea is that they just absorb what we say, what we do. And a lot of times we as adults are not aware of some of the things that we're doing. Say that we talk about someone at work, they hear us talking about them, talking about our neighbors or talking about the news. They just absorb all that. So I think the first place that we need to start as parents and adults is to take care of our own stinking thinking. And that's why one thing I will say on the website is that I have content out there. It's all free. If you sign up for just register there, you get free content. And I have three sections, one for kids, one for parents, and one for educators to help with, you know, deal with your own stinking thinking and help you deal with your own kids and classmates.
I think even if you're an aunt or an uncle, anyone who deals with kids on a regular basis would be good to sign up for this as well. That's
absolutely
a good point. You know, why do you think kids have problems thinking positively at school? You know, I mean, I know that our educators, they try hard. I'm a teacher, and we try hard to instill positive thinking and thinking, like Mom says, not just like I'm so great all the time, but to know, like, if there's a challenge, it's okay to have a challenge and continue to work towards something better and to go over that hurdle. Why do you think kids have a hard time thinking positively at school?
Well, I think that they're around other kids who have influenced by their own parents. And unfortunately, a lot of us don't do as good of a job as necessary. So the stuff that they absorb ends up coming out of their mouths to their friends and ends up, making it worse. You also have things like the Internet. You've got TV. You've got video games. You've got, the phones. I mean, how many kids today have phones now, and they are literally absorbed in their phone? You can't look at them any time where they're not playing a game or doing something on their phone. All that takes away from, experiencing, helping others and being kind to others because they're so focused on their own selves.
Oh, I know, absolutely. Like we were, and I think it was last Christmas, we had, lots of young people over at the house. And it was weird because they all had their own phones, and it was like you'd try to talk to them, but they were too busy texting. And it was like I just stopped trying. I wasn't like going to say, put your, phone down and talk, let's talk. But, I mean, it was just, I guess it was very telling about what's going on in society with the kids.
Well, and I find it very interesting, too, Bill, that you could be at a party, and I didn't know this was going on, but kids, teenagers, they're texting themselves even if they're at the same party.
Mm-hmm.
They could be standing right next to each other. Instead of communicating, they're texting. And
they're talking about you, Julie.
I would
how boring the party is.
Possibly.
No,
maybe.
It's true. It's like they're it's like we would never have dared to do something like that.
I think you're right. The access to such a wide variety of media, including our phones, at every point in our life, I think does bombard us with negative energy or negative thinking because we just can't be. Do you feel like what are some techniques that you were able to, express for kids or have for kids so they can start thinking better and more positively?
That's a great question, and that's one of the most important things that I want to focus on with the website, and also I have a book coming up in the fall to address some of this. But basically, what I think is that there's two steps, I think, that to get started in this. First of all, kids today, if you go give them a book, The Power of Positive Thinking, I don't know of any kid that I know that would actually read that. So the idea is to try to get them something, try to catch them where they're at, because most kids, unfortunately, are in a negative state, for as far as their predominant thoughts are probably negative. And so the idea is the I Don't Stink site is to try to overload them with stink to make it fun and make it interactive for them. So the two steps that I have is, one is becoming aware of negative thinking. And so what I did was create an exercise called Take Out Your Stinking Trash. And so basically it's like an exercise. It's fun. It's got a little activity for them to do, and they get to track their negative thinking during the course of maybe a whole week if they can do that long.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is not to judge it, not to do anything other than just basically put a check mark beside it and just, you know, track them and count them each day. And then at the end of the day, you sum it up and kind of I have some fun things to say in there that, you know, I'm tracking my stinking thinking, you know, things like that. That's really kind of fun. The next exercise is just as powerful, if not more, and that is to, after you become aware of your negative thinking, now start tracking your positive thinking. And there's an exercise on the website called Hey, Smell This. And that is an exercise where they track positive thinking, and they have they have activity, you know, poster board, and they're actually doing drawing and stuff, and they're tracking it all week long. And what you'll see is that, you know, the more that you become aware of negative thinking, your negative thinking will start to decline. And so also the same holds true for positive thinking. Whenever you start tracking what you're, because you're focusing on, whatever you focus on expands. And so what's fun about it is once you start looking for things to be positive about, you'll see more of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm on your website right now, idontstink.com, and it is very colorful, very child, youth-like oriented. It's so much fun to look at, and it's got a lot of interesting content and interesting pictures. It's just fun. And so I wanted to say congratulations. I know sometimes we, you know, our websites don't match who we want to attract. And I think your website totally matches attracting kids and helping them think better and enjoying and really enjoying and having more joy in their lives. And I want to say this question because I'm curious. Like, so who are Sweetie and Stanky, and how do they help kids think positively? What's that all about?
So what I tried to do was, you know, obviously it's about stink, you know, and what animal stinks the most is probably a skunk. So the idea was to incorporate characters from the site, and each one of them has their own bios on the site, so you can read about how they came to where they're at. There's a group that has that think predominantly positive. There's a group that think predominantly negatively. And so Sweetie is like the mascot of the website. And the idea is that she was born without a stink gland, so she doesn't stink at all. And all she does was, you know, is try to help people. And so the idea is that she can give ideas and suggestions that can help, you know, the kids today in a fun kind of way. While Stanky is the villain of the website, and he doesn't do anything positive for anybody. And the idea that by seeing both, you know, perspectives, you know, you can kind of start making different choices in your own lives just by using characters. There's a cartoon on the website, there's comic strips, there's all kinds of fun stuff to see how these skunks interact.
Well, that's awesome.
I think just by being there, you start to feel a little bit better as well, because it really is about changing your state.
Yes.
And having kids learn that they can start changing their state by just changing their thinking. And I think these exercises start you on that journey of being aware of that. That's very, very cool. I want to talk to you about your speaking. Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
One thing I would mention is that the very first website that I ever did, the very first for idontstink.com, when you opened it up, it opened up a quiz. And so the idea that quiz is now on the barrel that says Think You Stink, and it's an interactive. You fill it in, you answer questions, and it's trying to determine how bad your negative thoughts are stinking. And so so you basically go through 7 questions. It gives you a score. It gives you an animated image as well as a prescription, you know, to get rid of the stinking thinking, and a forecast if you don't take any if you don't do any work or anything, this is what your forecast is going to look like. So it's a fun way to keep them engaged. And really, that's all I had agreed to do in the beginning. That's all I was just going to do. But so many people kept sending me messages going, where's the rest of the site? This is awesome. I need more of my content. And so after that, then I built the full website within the next 9 months.
It is awesome.
Very, very cool. Very cool. And so, you know, you got your stinking quiz on there.
We don't need no stinking badges.
Exactly. And so I want to talk about where that leads then to your kindness challenge, because on your website you have this kindness meter. And just to let everybody know, I mean, you're at like 9,534 points or kindness for everyone's total. So that's pretty awesome. So can you talk to a little bit about that kindness challenge that you have?
Yes. The kindness challenge is a way to try to get kids to be focused on others. When you focus on other people, kids especially, you know, mm-hmm. their state will change. They'll feel better about themselves. They'll feel better about other people and how they look at other people. And the idea is it's kind of a teaching mechanism. So on the site, when you create your account, you actually get your own meter, and it tracks your kind deeds, and it keeps track of them and gives you a total, and that feeds the overall kindness meter. So it's a fun way to be able to do it. You can issue kindness challenges to other people, but the idea is that it creates a ripple effect of giving. And really, if you want to deal with self-esteem, you want to deal with bullying, all those kind of things, kindness kind of like just, you know, wipes it out instantly. Because mm-hmm. you can go from a negative state to do something kind, you can change it in just a few seconds. And so that's what the kindness meter and the kindness challenge is all about. One thing that I did do several years ago, I did at a Denton Arts and Jazz Festival, we did a kindness challenge, like for the whole three full days of the festival. We ended it up with a kindness challenge where we actually had 100 kind deeds, and we were going to do 100 kind deeds in 90 minutes. Well, mm-hmm. what we found out is we ran out. People were coming and getting cards mm-hmm. and giving, you know, flowers to people, hugging people, you know, doing kindness. It was amazing to watch that we actually completed them all. We actually did like 150 in less than 60 minutes, and they kept coming back. And I'm like, I don't have any more. Mm-hmm. I can't give you any more. So that was the idea of that. That's where it came from.
That's so cool. Kind of like Julie, I see your acts of kindness, and I raise you, you know, six quarts of compassion.
hey, just keep it expanding and expanding and expanding.
Exactly.
That's awesome. I'm sure this is going to be I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. These techniques that you have on your website, the kindness meter, I mean, is it okay for adults to use? Can adults use this? Can they use them with your kids so that their kids, so they can be like a partnership in all this?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. If you want to get the maximum benefit of it, and probably about half of the members on the site are parents, because they want to check mm-hmm. to see what their kids are doing. And really, if whenever they're tracking, when they're taking out their stinking trash, you should be taking out your stinking trash too, because when the two of you get together, that's a whole lot of trash getting taken out. And mm-hmm. the idea is that it really creates a special bond. I've seen it happen over and over again where kids were recluse and they weren't saying anything. They didn't say anything to they just didn't talk and whatever. But as soon as we got them doing kindness and they were working with their parent, they changed like within a day. They completely changed. Their whole attitude changed. Mm-hmm. And so that's what, it's a fun way to try to get engaged. So I would highly recommend it.
Hope in
and
the
one,
world
one,
still.
One other thing that I'm trying, that I'm working to do, is to really get stinking thinking in the classroom. And I actually have mm-hmm. a 3-week pilot that I've built, and several places all over the world are actually starting to take the pilot and get that going. So that's my ultimate goal, is to get it in the classroom.
I would love to see that. If there's any way that we can support you in that, just let us know, because that would be an awesome thing to see
yes.
in schools.
And so starting off that way, before we go, you know, how can we get our kids ready for the new school year? It's the summer break, and it's cool to do these things, you know, random act of kindness in the summer. It's awesome. How can we get them ready for the fall and make this new school year an awesome year for them?
So I think the biggest thing, and again, where the premise of the entire website is actually kindness, what I would say is practice kindness every day. it really is. Every now and then, I'll do a 30-day or 60-day or 90-day kindness challenge. And so what I'll do is I'll issue it, and then we'll watch the meter go up as people are starting to track. It's just getting in the habit. It's like you schedule it. And it doesn't have to be difficult. It could be just answering the phone, say, you know, like if my wife calls, I say, you know, hello, beautiful. You know, just something that's kind. That's a kind act.
Yeah.
Just one, it's
yeah.
2 seconds. So it can be more. It can be opening a door for somebody at the grocery store. It could be stepping aside someone while you're in line, letting them go in front of you. I mean, just the, just that little bit makes a huge difference. So I think the first thing is to do practice kindness every day. The second thing is to maybe challenge others to do kindness. So, again, on the website, you can actually go in and click a button that says issue a challenge to friend, type in their email. Their email is not captured or anything, so it just goes to them, and it's a pre-written thing to go in and challenge them to go
so
do
great.
Some kind. And then track negative thinking, track positive thinking. And the last thing is, whenever possible, volunteer. Because I find that, you know, we're all, when you're doing something for someone else, and really that is a form of kindness, obviously, but when you're outside your house and you're helping someone else, you get immediate gratification from helping someone, whether it be animal shelter or it be at a local food bank or wherever. You get that instant gratification from it, and it inspires you to continue moving forward.
I would love to see parents help their kids get into volunteering, you know, get off the video games and into volunteering. That would be so awesome. And you know what, Bill? I don't stink.
idontstink.com. Exactly. Just go to idontstink.com. Everything is there on the website. You can join their email list. They've got all their free stuff there. The quiz is there. It's under Think You Stink. and it's a really awesome quiz. Everything here, I just want to say, your kids will be very drawn to it.
Yes.
It's very colorful and very animated. The quiz is very animated. It's awesome. Bill, great, great job. And I want to say thank you
for doing this for the planet. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Bill. Any last word before you go to our audience, our lovelies out there?
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I would like to just mention, I do have a book launch that's launching October 29th. It's called Stinkin' Thinkin' Stinks, and it's written for this age group, and is just it's a lot of fun with exercises for each chapter, but, you know, it's really fun chapters, you know, things like, you know, avoid becoming stink bait, you know, how to eliminate stink breath. So it's got a lot of stink in it, if you hadn't figured that out. And then it's got fun exercises in there, you know, too. So it's coming out October 29th.
It's called, what's it called again?
It's called Stinkin' Thinkin' Stinks.
Good. Okay.
Stinkin' Thinkin'
awesome.
Stinks. And I want to say right now, Bill, you are more than welcome to come back on during that time to share your new book with everybody.
Yeah. When it gets closer to the launch date, let us know, and, you know, we'll have you on again.
I would love that. Thank you very much. I'll send you guys a copy of the book ahead of time.
All
great,
right,
thank
wonderful.
You. All right, thank you, Bill. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Yeah. I don't stink.
You don't stink?
I don't stink.com.
I don't stink, yeah. I don't stink.com, the website. You know what? I love it because I don't get to say the word stink that often.
I know. Isn't it fun?
Yes. I remember growing up, my grandmother used to say, goes, you know, let the wind blow the stink right off you, Julie. I didn't know I had stink on me, but all right. I guess I will, but idontstink.com. It's a fun website for kids, but I'm going to say also for adults because I'm looking at it. I'm happy.
Yes.
I'm doing it. I'm happy.
Yeah, you're happy.
And sometimes you just want to be happy in life.
I know. And you know what? Come on. To have that kind of a, just to be able to say over and over again, I don't stink.
I don't stink.
Idontstink.com. That's fun.
It is. And you know, it's so awesome too because we used to talk about you know trash talking, and now we're talking about taking out the trash thinking.
Yes.
So trash thinking to trash talking. So we had a good time. But I want to say now before we bring on our next guest because we're gonna switch it a little bit.
Just switch it up.
We're having two men on.
Yeah, I can't handle all the testosterone.
It's fun. I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking with our lovelies out there, it's a great time. And one thing that's dear to my heart is our environment, because I'm, you know, I live in nature. I live out in the country. I love it. And I have to say that I am always, I was talking to my dear aunt today, and I love her dearly. She's in her 80s, maybe even close to 90. Her brother's older brother's 95 on July 4th. And she was talking about character defects. And I'm like, ah, okay, I'm ready, aunt, my aunt that I love so much. Okay, what's my character defect that you're going to show me
today? We're going down this road, huh?
But every year, I will say, on my sheet of my, you know, my resolutions for the year, I always have something about how I can improve the way I take care of the plant, the way I can go greener. Because a lot of times it's just a habit that I have that I'm not going green enough, or I can just tweak it enough. And in our book, The Clutterfly Effect, you know, we always talk about tweaking and building momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm so glad, because we're going to have Shel Horowitz on tonight, and we're going to talk about guerrilla marketing, but doing it green, having a green business, what that's all about. Shel, are you there? Shel. I guess Shel's not there. I thought Shel was. Oh, are you there, Shel?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, good. I
can barely hear
you. I can barely hear you. I'm so sorry, sir.
All right, let me pump up the volume a bit here.
Okay,
that
good.
Better?
That would be. Oh, that's perfect. Perfect. I'm going to just talk a little bit about you real quick, Shel. You're a green marketing consultant, copywriter, and international speaker. You specialize in profitability strategies, which I love, because we want to know how to be green and profitable. And sometimes, and I have a hard time saying that word profitable, especially with my cold. And, Shel, I'm sure that the clients that you work with, they come to you with that question. It's like, green means costing me more money. My profits go down. And I'm sure that's a common complaint that people who are like, I just don't know if I can go any greener, can that be about, and so forth. And your latest book is Guerrilla Marketing Goes Green. You also write the international syndicated column Green and Profitable. And I love this. You give your talk called Making Green Sexy. and I'm sure Kermit the Frog would love you for saying that.
Yeah, I'm sure he would.
Because he just likes green and sexy, you know? So, you know, I know you've been doing this for a long time, but, you know, Shel, I'm sure you've answered this question before, but how did you go with getting, you know, go on this line of not just going green with your business, but making your marketing green?
Well, it really goes back a long, long time, because I've been doing both the green world and the marketing world for a lot of years. And about 13 years ago now, I kind of got the idea that these things could work together. They didn't have to be separate parts of my life, but they could actually be braided together, so to speak. And what really caused me to realize that was a campaign we did locally called Save the Mountain. I live right next to a state park, which goes up a 900-foot summit, a little mountain by some parts of the country standards, but here in Massachusetts it's kind of a big deal. And this developer decided that right next to the state park on the next mountain was a perfect place to put 40 big trophy homes. And I said, like, no, I don't think so. So we started this movement called Save the Mountain. I live in a town of 5,000 people. We could consistently get 400 or more people out to a public hearing. We had over 1,000 people sign the petitions. We had floods of letters to the editor. We were everywhere. And we organized this mass movement, and we beat the thing. We did let them build two houses at the bottom. But I realized during that campaign that all the marketing skills that I had been building up over the decades actually fit in really well with my higher purpose of making the planet green. So it was really exciting.
Well, I can tell in your voice how much passion you have for this.
Yeah.
And I
do
agree. I mean, 400 people coming out to support anything out of a town of 5,000, that's a community that can really go for change. I love that.
Yeah,
that's
this is over and over again. Every time we had an issue, we were able to bring people out. And it was kind of a consensus movement. You know, even I would go into town hall and people would say things like, the town clerk would say, well, I'm supposed to charge you for these copies, but since it's for Save the Mountain. Yeah, it was just amazing. I do want to go back to something you said in the introduction, this myth that people have that going green is expensive or difficult. is just that it's a myth. There are hundreds of ways to go green that are easy and cheap and profitable. And I'll give you just one example. Okay, you need to buy a new printer. You buy one that prints both sides. Okay? I saved about 40% on paper by doing that, and it didn't cost any more than a one-sided printer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting, because I've never thought about that, mm-mm. And I just thought, oh, I could just, you know, print page one first, then turn it over, which I don't do. You know,
well,
I'm not.
Of course you don't do it. It's too much work. And
too much work.
You put the paper in backwards, and you have to print the whole thing again.
Exactly.
So this one does it for me. It's kind of fun to watch. It spits the paper three quarters of the way out, and then it pulls it back in and prints the other side.
Hmm. I love that.
Thank you. That's an awesome, awesome tip.
That's an awesome tip.
So how would you then explain, like, I mean, guerrilla marketing, there's that big book that came out, and we know what guerrilla marketing is all about. How would you think, like, green marketing different from ordinary marketing?
Green marketing, the green consumer is rather, what's the word I should use? They're somewhat skeptical of people's claims, so they don't do well with a lot of hype. Like in traditional marketing, it's all like, boom, and buy and sell. And that doesn't work in the green market. They want to hear how it's going to be good for the earth and good for them. And there have been some products marketed that were maybe good for the earth but maybe not so good for the user, and I don't advocate doing those. My kids are now 20 and 25, but when my daughter was young, we tried her on the then-new biodegradable disposable diapers.
Mm-hmm.
Disaster! They biodegraded a little too fast, like while they were still being worn, and that experiment did not last very long. So you want to avoid that. You want to have really good stuff out there that's as good or better than the mainstream product. And often the reason it's as good or better is precisely because of the green features. So, for example, a well-designed green-built house is going to be cooler in the summer, warmer in the winter, because it's much better insulated. So you market to people who may not necessarily be so concerned about, oh, I've got to, you know, make sure I don't do a single extra BTU because we have a carbon crisis. But you also want to hit the people who are, okay, I'm spending $2,000 a month in the wintertime to heat my home. I think there's got to be a better way. What if we could do it for $500 a month? That's the selling point then. And then you can tell those people, well, the reason that you're paying one quarter as much is because it's a greenhouse.
Right. So you really are going after the person who has that in the back of their mind. How can I be green, save money, save the planet? And it's a win-win for everybody. And that's what you're looking mm-hmm. for, that person who's conscious of the win-win and not just going after just like, you know, I only can spend $5 today even though it's going to cost me, you know, an extra $100 every year, every day of my life or whatever. So,
yeah, and there are choices. And the nice thing is that there are more and more ways to do these things affordably. Like, okay, everybody knows that it costs a whole lot of money to buy a solar system for your house. But what a lot of people don't know is that there are companies out there that will actually rent your rooftop from you, put the solar on at their own expense, and sell you back power cheaper than what you would get from the power company. So you're saving money on your electric bill, and you're also generating revenue from your rooftop. And you don't have to pay anything up front. That's pretty cool. So if you're a person of modest means, if you don't have a lot of money and you don't happen to have $10,000 lying around for a solar system, there's a way that you can do solar without it costing you anything out of your pocket right away.
Wow.
So, shut the front door, because that has been my idea forever.
Yeah.
I'm like, why are the electric companies going into that business, running these things out to us so that we could do that? Is that, how would people find out? Is that more in your book, Guerrilla Marketing Goes Green, or is that in your...
That is not. What you should do is Google solar lease back, and then put in your state, and see what comes up.
Mm-hmm. Ah,
do that, Julie.
Yes, that is so awesome.
That's a great suggestion.
We have an energy fair every year, right early August typically, and we always go, and there's always people selling solar power, and I love it. I love the wind power, you know, for your private home. I think it's a great idea. Except that it always ends up being about $10,000 to $20,000 to really get going, and
mm-hmm.
you're like, that could be a hard nut to crack sometimes, you know.
Yeah, it can.
So I love that idea. That's an awesome, awesome idea.
Yeah, and you can you can. The nice thing about it also is not everybody's a homeowner, or not everybody's going to stay in their home long enough to make an investment like that. If you're going to sell your house in 2 or 3 years, or if you're renting, all of a sudden you can get solar.
Right. Wow. That's
awesome. So awesome.
Now, I know you also talk about businesses that seek alliances with their competitors. And I like this concept, but I also know that we're programmed to fear our competitors and keep everything close to the vest, especially around our competitors. What do you mean by that?
Okay. Start with this little bit of information. Okay, the largest companies in the world, the ones who are on the outside most competitive, are making these sorts of partnerships and alliances all the time. Have you ever thought about what a miracle it is that the post office, which we've been laughing at our whole lives about mail delivery accuracy, how are they able to guarantee Express Mail gets there, not just gets there, but gets there in one day? You know, if Express Mail takes 2 days to get there, they've got to give you your money back. Did you ever think about how this institution that we laugh at is able to do that? And here's the answer. They hire FedEx to move the Express Mail from airport to airport. Now, FedEx knows exactly where every package is at all times. FedEx is flying a much fuller plane and getting paid for it. And the post office doesn't have to issue all those refund checks. So everybody wins.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very interesting, because I also know, too, when you think about it, I think like UPS and FedEx use the post office to deliver mail to people that are out in rural areas.
Yeah, because it's not cost-effective for them to take one piece of mail out there.
Right. Wow, I never thought about that, because you would think they were so competitive and, like, against each other. Mm-hmm. I need each and every corner of my market,
mm-hmm.
but they get to use each other for a greater good.
Yes. And I love seeing
that. Here's another example. Okay, the first car I ever bought new was a 1988 Chevy Nova. Guess who did the design work on that car?
Now who?
Toyota.
Really?
It's the same car as a Toyota Corolla.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the only thing that's different is it used the Chevrolet two-key system instead of the Toyota one-key system, and it had a different grille with the Chevy insignia. Other than that, it was a Toyota Corolla. But it was $2,000 cheaper, so I was real glad they did that partnership.
Exactly. Well, and I guess we just don't know. We aren't aware of all the things that go on in big business. We see it as competitors, but really, they, when it works in everybody's favor, a win-win, they do use each other for their best advantage. That's awesome.
I do love
now
that.
Now let's turn it around and look at tiny businesses, okay? So I'm a consultant, and I write marketing material for people. If I were to try to do 0.00001% of the total amount of copywriting work over there, I would be an extreme stressed-out nutcase. It's way too much to handle. You know, so market share is an irrelevant concept to me. I don't need to have a big market share. I just need to have a full calendar. So if somebody comes to me with a project that isn't right for me, or I'm just too busy, is it going to be better for them if I send them away with the name of somebody who might be able to help them, or is it better if I just tell them, sorry, can't do it? You know, what are those circumstances they're going to come back to me for? Obviously, it's when I give them somebody who can help them.
Absolutely.
So if I call up my friend and say, I've got this client that is not right for me because either I don't like what they're selling, or I'm too busy, or just there's not the right chemistry, do you want a crack at it? They're going to be happy, and who are they going to send their overage to when they have too much work? Me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Well,
what is a trade association except a way that people can join an alliance with their competitors?
Oh, I know. Well, we're out here by Chicago, and we have this. There's this famous church, and it's huge. And, you know, but the basic premise that other people know about this church is that once you join it, everybody does business with everybody else. It's like, you know, like you said, it's sort of like a mini trade association.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm a small business person and I want to try something green in my marketing efforts, where would I begin? Where would you suggest I begin?
The first thing I would do is take a look at what steps I've already taken to green my business, or what easy steps I could take, and then how to turn those into marketing benefits. And this is something I do with my clients. I'm very, very happy. In fact, anybody who's listening here who has a business and wants some help in that regard, I would be happy to give you a 15-minute freebie session over the phone. You'll have to set it up ahead of time. But, you know, you can determine if there's stuff that you could be doing that's easy and cheap and profitable, both to go green and then to reach the green market. And also to reach the non-green market with green products and services, which is another piece, because you have to reach them differently. And should give people a chance to get pen and paper in case they want to write down the phone number and the email to get a hold of me. But as I said, anybody can have 15 minutes of my time. We'll just set it up, and you'll tell me a little bit about your business, and we can talk about where the opportunities are for you, because it's going to be a little different for everybody. Like, I've got one client right now who runs the auto club that is the green alternative to AAA. They do, like, one of their points of differentiation is if you have a flat tire on your bicycle, they'll come and fix the flat just like AAA will fix your car flat.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. So cool.
And can people get a hold of you at greenandprofitable.com?
My email address is Shell, S-H-E-L, just one L, at greenandprofitable.com, and is spelled out. And my phone number is 413-586-2388, and I'm happy to take calls anytime between 8 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern time.
Mm-hmm. That's very generous of you.
Very generous.
Yeah, 5 days a week, though. You got to have 2 days off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't do client work on the weekends. I will talk to a client on the phone, but I will not do the work. That's my time.
So you said you started out a long time ago. Did you say like 18 years ago or more than that?
More than that. I actually opened my business in 1981.
Okay, wow.
I was really young. I'm only 56, but I started really early. I started trying to jump. I started my business with $200, and $12
that
went for marketing.
Oh, wow. Well, you know what? I think so. When people who are starting their business, I think that's one of the biggest things they forget about is the marketing.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. We set everything up. We look good. We have our product, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Now I got to get some clients, and they're the most important. and how do I do that? And like you said, with your $200, that all went to marketing. And
$12 went to marketing.
Oh, $12?
$176 went for a typewriter. A typewriter! We didn't have computers yet. I bought my first computer in 1984. My business was already a couple of years old.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
You know, even back then, there was a lot of stuff you could do for free with marketing. And today, with social media, if you understand how to do that, getting free publicity, like here you are giving me time to rant and rave over your airwaves, that's a way that I am marketing, you know, and people might mm-hmm. come and take me up on that offer of the 15-minute free consultation. And let's just say 10 people take me up on that, maybe 2 become clients. So that's
right.
A great way to market for free.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, I also know on your website, Green and Profitable, you have you can sign up, put their name and email in, and you can get your tips. And that you have 7 tips to gain and go a greener business. And I love that because it's like a tip a week for 7 weeks, and that's awesome. So you just go right there, put your name in and your email address, start getting your newsletter, and so forth. That's really cool.
We should do
that,
too.
It's right at the top right-hand corner of greenandprofitable.com. And you also get the monthly newsletter then, which I've been publishing since 1997. I have one of the first business e-zines out there that's still going.
Wow.
And it's called the Clean and Green Newsletter.
You've just been in this so long, and you still sound like you're not cynical. You sound, you know, fresh. And I mean, I'm just tickled pink to it. Because I'll tell you what, you always hear about, you know, marketers. They're like, always be marketing. And it's sort of like that, I don't know, that movie that was up with all those guys on the phones and stuff. You just feel like, oh, you know, soulless. But I think you've kept your
own. Yeah, there's a lot of bad soulless marketing out there, but I don't do that stuff, and I don't recommend it to my clients. You know, it's got to be fun. I have fun with what I do. I have passion for what I do. I love helping people in this way. And, you know, I decided in my 20s that I was going to have a happy life, and it was a really good decision. and I've had a happy life. And I just take a lot of joy in being able to write and think and speak for a living. I mean, people pay me for this. It's amazing.
Yeah. How awesome is that? That's cool. That's cool.
And,
Has it changed over the years?
The kinds of marketing that are soulless, and there are plenty.
Yeah, there are. Has it changed over the years with technology since you were really in the beginning of the internet doing this? Have you noticed that over the last 10 years it has changed dramatically?
Oh, definitely, definitely. We did have social media going way back, but we didn't have Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, et cetera, G+. Those changed the landscape of marketing quite a bit. We didn't have blogs. The whole thing about being able to throw up a website in WordPress and have it be just a few clicks and you're done is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my first website went up with hard-coded HTML. That was an intern and I kind of taught ourselves how to do that, and we worked through it. I'm so glad not to be living in that world anymore. It was not an enjoyable task to learn how to do that.
No kidding. I've totally
forgotten. Don't ask me to program a web page. I do not remember how to do anything except make something bold or italic or a new paragraph.
And luckily, you don't need to do that anymore.
I'd like to ask, have you had any, like, really neat success stories that, you know, you helped somebody, like, really go, like, to the moon, you know?
Well, I'm going to tell you about one that was not one of my clients, although I've had a good working relationship with them. It's a household paper products company called Markel. They're a Northeast United States brand, so you might not know them in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But they were a real pioneer with recycled toilet paper. I'll let you guess what year. I told you they were early. Let's see if you can come anywhere close to when they switched to recycle. The company was founded in 1939, by the way.
Wow. Okay, if they're early, I'm going to say 1985.
Try this, 1950.
No, they started recycling.
Wow.
That's awesome.
But you know what? They didn't tell anybody. I grew up with this brand. I grew up in New York City, so this was a local brand. And, you know, they were always a price leader. Their stuff was always very cheap. But in the slideshow I do in my talks, Making Green Sexy, I show some slides of their packaging from back in the day. And you look at 1965, there's not a word about recycling. And I can kind of understand that because, like, you're making toilet paper out of other people's old junk mail? You know, that's what it might have felt like in, like, 1958 or 1965. But by 1972, 1974, there would have been a market. There would have been a lot of people that would have happily bought this stuff if only they had known. And they didn't start telling anybody, really, until the mid-2000s. And now they've built their whole brand about it, and guess what? They're now the number one brand of recycled paper in the country, even though they're only a regional brand. They outsell things like Seventh Generation that have been telling their green story for decades, but which are also quite a bit more expensive.
Yeah.
So this is a huge success.
Well, I just want to say, because, you know, you may, if you're not into recycling, you might go, well, how are you recycling toilet paper?
Once it's been toilet paper, you don't recycle it. You might compost it if you
don't have
toilet.
Julie.
My brain has cold on today. I have a cold brain. I'm like, well, how do you recycle that toilet paper? I want to know.
You can buy like boards for your porch that are made out of old soda bottles. It's amazing what stuff gets recycled now.
Yeah,
exactly.
And that's so cool. I mean, if I wasn't in the business that I'm in, I would like to have a plant that does that kind of stuff, that takes stuff in and, I don't know, grinds it or churns it. And so you were even telling me about somebody that you met that was going to do something similar to that. Like,
I met a man who had, he said a billion-dollar idea, and it was how to recycle plastic. He knew somebody who wanted recycled plastic, but he'd have to get it, and he knew a place that wanted to sell their old plastic. He's like, I can make a fortune if I could just connect these two together.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was part of his business plan. And so even in this day and age, there are still areas and markets where you can find, like, wait a minute, this can be done better by recycling. And
Absolutely.
That's what we're all for. I mean, if you can be done better by recycling, that's the key.
Yeah, and I'm going to give, since hopefully they've already picked up the pen, I'm going to give people another gift here. I have an e-book, a little thing called Painless Green, that has 111 tips for going green in your own life, and most of them are either free or very, very cheap.
Mm.
And, yeah, so to get that, you go to painlessgreenbook.com /earthday, and Earth Day is one word. So painlessgreenbook.com/earthday, and then you'll need to enter this code EARTHDAY, because if you don't put in the code, then it's going to cost you $9.95.
Okay.
But I'm going to make it a gift.
Thank you.
So
the audience will love that. I know I will.
And it's got all sorts of cool stuff on how to save electricity and how to save water. We don't think about water. I mean, the waste of water in this country is, I consider, criminal. Just because people aren't trained. You know, you grow up in a house and your mom says that you should run the water full force while you're washing one dish or washing your hands, and you don't know any better. And, you know, you're trained to take like a half a wad of toilet paper every time you use the bathroom, and you don't need that much. It's just different ways of thinking. But it's also stuff, practical things, like a lot of people don't think about the outlets and switch plates on their outside walls are just a doorway to heat loss. And there are very easy, very cheap things you can do to stop that.
Okay. So
that's
I
really great.
Say
thank you
so much.
We just got the 60-second signal here that we're on our last minute, but thank you so much for your generosity.
Again, so painlessgreenbook.com/earthday and the code EARTHDAY, and then the business site is greenandprofitable.com. And thank you, ladies, so much for having me.
Oh, you're very,
yeah,
very welcome.
Yeah, we enjoyed it. We really did. We'd love to have you back sometime, because I can tell we've just only scratched the surface of all this.
Oh, yeah. This is just the wee beginning.
Yes.
Thank you very
awesome.
Much, Del. Have a great
Thanks,
night.
Thanks, Del.
You too.
Two awesome men tonight.
Yeah.
My testosterone level has been increased.
Yours has.
The environment around me. How about that?
Okay.
Not mine personally.
Next time I see you, you've got a little beard.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's not go there, girlfriend. Okay. Let's not break that bond. You never know. I told you that in secret. But thanks.
But, you know, everybody needs...
Oh, we're going to start singing right now?
No.
A good girlfriend. Playing girlfriend. And I want to say goodbye to everybody right now.
Yes.
Thank you for the life of the girlfriend. Have a great week.
Buy the Clutterfly Effect book.
Go to ClutterflyEffect.com, our website. Have a great night, everyone.
Bye-bye.